How to be an effective worship leader. What is a worship leader or director? Really, we're looking at the qualities of a worship leader. I want to just quickly go through all of them, and then we'll spend a little time with each one. A worship leader is a worshiper, a facilitator, a learner, a leader, a servant, a team player, an encourager, an organizer, a tactful motivator, committed, a music lover, a gifted musician, and a delegator. So that's the list that we're going to go through together. A worshiper, Ephesians 5:19 through 20, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're the leader, certainly you have to be one who loves worship. And not just on Sunday, but worship is something, is part of your everyday life. That you're always looking at life and seeing the things around you. You see a sunrise, you see a sunset, and the thoughts of worship come to your mind. I mean, for myself, when I go to a mall, and I've never been to this mall, and I see, you know, the decorations and the high ceiling, and I see banners and so on hanging from the mall, I right away think of worship space. I think of, wow, it'd be really cool to have church in here. Or I see, you know, what they did with the streamer, and it lifts my heart, it gives me joy, and I think, man, you know, color. God created all this wonderful color and cloth, and what can we do with our church? So I'm seeing worship everywhere, any space. There's a grassy area by our church, and we have these mammoth trees, and with the leaves hanging over, one little section looks like a cathedral to me. That's where we're going to have our outdoor service this summer. It's like a natural. It's the trees are lining and the branches and the leaves make it a cathedral. You have to see God everywhere in the sky and the heavens and the stars and in the cloud formations. You know, be a worshiper. Be a worshiper certainly on stage with your worship team. Sometimes, you know, a band is on stage and they're trying to get their notes and they're the eyes looking at their music and you can tell they're just working at trying to make this good, but you're not sure they're worshiping God. Or the singers, they're leading and they have a music stand and they're looking at the words and they're trying to get the harmonies and they never look up and they never look at the people and you're not sure if they're really, are they worshiping? Are they just singing a song? Is this like karaoke? Or so how you have to genuinely love to worship God, and not just up front on the stage and not just in your life, but when you're in the crowd. We had a worship leader at our church who you know, when he was on stage and he had the microphone and he's part of the singing group, he would be singing his heart out and closing his eyes and moving and swaying to the beat. And then I would notice on the days that he isn't singing, sometimes he wouldn't even be in church, but when he was in church, he'd be standing there. Just standing there, not singing, not moving his feet, not, you know. So up front, you know, I'm one person, but when I'm in the crowd, I'm another person. We tell our worship leaders and worship team, look, you are a worshiper no matter what, whether you have a microphone or you don't have a microphone. And you're a leader. People, you know, we need people in the congregation who actually sing, who move, who actually, you know, look like they're enthusiastic about this whole thing. So we told them, look, you can't be one thing on stage and another thing somewhere else. You have to be a worship. You know, a person of integrity, and your worship is your worship. So teach your people to be worshipers. Secondly, a facilitator. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful, and now these words, for building others up. As a worship director, as a music director, your job is to build others up. And there's a bit of a conflict between the music director or the worship director and leading the singing. You might be a talented worship director, you might be a talented singer, a player, and the tendency is to then be the one that leads all the worship. So all the worship songs, you introduce, all the singing, you take the lead part, you're the focal point, and people need a focal point. People need a person to follow, because contemporary music especially is a little harder, and people don't know when to come in, so they need someone to follow. But if you're center stage all the time, soon it will look like it's about you. And other talented, gifted musicians will see that that slot is taken. And you'll have a hard time building a very big team, because the really good players will go somewhere else. Now, I mentioned my wife is an excellent, excellent, excellent music leader. She's an excellent musician. She's an incredible player. She has an incredible voice. You know how many solos my wife sang last year in our church? Zero. She does not put herself up front. If you came to one of our worship services, you would not know that she is the leader. She is willing to be, and that's the next thing, a servant. Romans 12, 3 through 6. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. My wife sees that. She sees, you know, the talent in people, and she doesn't have to take center stage. I'm, you know, as I watched my wife over the years, and we've had an established church, we planted a church, the current church that we are in now was a dying church when we came, and we had to turn the whole thing around. And she has succeeded getting an incredible worship team every place she went, and incredible talented people. And these incredible talented people, she helps some of them become that. We had one singer who really was not a singer at all, and all of a sudden he can sing. Our current bass player never played bass before, and she encouraged him, said, well, hey, why don't you try this? And so she knows how to find and help people become better than they are. But also, good, talented people are attracted to someone who will help them become even better, where it isn't all about them. See, if you put yourself as the center, if you put yourself on the stage, then you will not attract talented, gifted people. You have to be a servant. I am here to help all of you. A learner. Proverbs 18, verse 15. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. My wife is listening to music every day. She's listening to new music every day. She's practicing. She grew up playing the piano. It's nothing for her to play the piano for 3 hours. Just she works at it, and she's willing to learn. And you need a team of people that are willing to learn. To learn chords, to learn the patterns, to learn the lead parts. Some people don't know how to read music. You can learn. All these things are something you can learn. And as the music director, you have to set the example. If you're the know-it-all, if you know everything and you never have to learn, you're the one correcting everybody, then people will want to be just like you. The people that you're leading will want to be like you. And if you're a know-it-all, they'll become know-it-all. Next quality is a leader. You have to be a leader. Philippians 4, verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You have to be bold enough to tell people to do what you do. You put into practice what I am trying to teach you. You have to be willing to lead. You can't just come to a practice and go, okay, so what should we do? If you do that, then all the wannabe leaders will all compete for that leadership position. One of the secrets I think my wife has in producing such a good team is she leads. It doesn't mean she dictates. She'll ask people what they think, but she only asks a few things. She has it well planned. She listened to the tape. We're going to follow this one on the tape. Or she'll bring a song. Okay, here's a song where I want you all to creatively figure out what we can do. But she knows which song we're doing what with. And she keeps the practices and you know, the rehearsals and then the service. She keeps it going and she's on top of it. You have to be a leader. Without a leader, it turns into chaos. Next, you have to be a team player. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we belong to each other. The team feel, there's nothing more important than that. It's not about, you know, individuals succeeding, this one looking good. It's about the team. We just did a 40-minute concert in the park just a couple days ago, sponsored by our little town. And so we had all these players and we had all these singers. And my wife could just take the two or three of our best people and just make it a killer show. But she realizes that this is a time when people invite their grandmas and grandpas and people of our church and friends from work, and they all come to the park. And it's a beautiful setting. It's not about just being the best band in the park. It's about building the body. It's about building the worship team. So she has, you know, five people singing on this one because we want everyone to feel a part of it. It would have been better if just these two people sang. But no, she's looking, and then we had a couple bass players, and you play on this one, and we have two drummers, so this drummer plays on this one play. So she works at how do we become a team? We want to get everyone off the bench. Next, encourager. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Sometimes as a music director, you have to spur people. You have to tell people where the wrong note is, or someone comes to the practice, they haven't practiced at all, and you have to tell them, look, you know, if no one practices on their own, we're just wasting our time with this rehearsal. So sometimes you have to tell the truth in love. But often it's about encouraging people. Musicians are incredibly insecure, really. I mean, you put yourself out there, you play something, you sing, and your voice is very personal, and in the beginning of a song it doesn't sound so good, or you go through something and it's usually not together, and it just, I know for myself, I just couldn't do it. I know, you know, when I go to a thing and it's a new song, and I look at it and I'm like, I'm ready to just give up. I'm like, we're not going to be able to do this. And my wife just, okay, let's just keep going. All right, let's work on this part. Let's work on this part. Okay, let's try that. And she just patiently puts it, keeps working at it. You know, I think you're getting at it. Why don't you go home and see if you can improve on that? And she just, a few pointers here and there, but she just gently, totally encourages. And surprising to me, it always turns out good. I mean, it's amazing what, you know, a couple of weeks, what happens from what you were to what it becomes. Unbelievable. You have to be an organizer. There's a lot to organize. Joseph, you know, he had all these bad things happen to him, but the first thing he did, he tried to make order out of chaos. He's thrown into prison, and he ends up putting that in order. He was an organizer, and to be a music director, you really have to organize your music. You have to have a song book that has all the songs. You have to organize your teams and who's singing what, and have a balanced approach to that. You have to connect with the pastor and what's happening with the service. There's special services, baptisms, Lord's Supper. There's Christmas. There's Easter. There's Good Friday. There's all this stuff, and it's a mountain of work. And some of these things happen every year. And if you can go back to what you did last year and see what it is and adapt and change. it makes everything a lot easier. You have to keep things organized, or again, it will be chaos and you won't be able to lead. Committed. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind. And I love this. Straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Press on. You have to be a person that presses on. The whole music thing can be tremendously discouraged. You can work with someone, develop the talent, and all of a sudden they leave for some other church. Better opportunity. And so after all your work, they're gone. Or you can work on things and get it all prepared, and then people just don't show up for practice. Commitment. It takes commitment. I remember I dropped my wife off. They practice every Thursday. They practice for two and a half hours every Thursday, and then an hour before the service on Sunday. And they do that every week. Okay? That's just the normal commitment that our musicians and so on have. So I dropped her off at church, and then I went and visited my sister. And we talked and we talked and we got into things. And I was there for like 2.5, almost 3 hours. And I said, yeah. And she said, finally said, well, why are you in this area? And I said, well, I dropped my wife off at 7 o'clock for the practice. And she said, 7 o'clock? It's 9:30. How long does your team practice? And I said, well, I don't know, 2.5 hours usually, 3. And she said, this is what she said. She said, well, that's why your church worship band is so good. Because their team practices for like a half an hour, 40 minutes, and then they're done. It takes commitment. Not only is it practice time, but it's practicing on your own time. There's no way that a band and the singers can pull it off without working on things at home. So it takes commitment. And why not be committed? This is our worship to God. There's a reason why 50% or whatever is of our time of the worship service is singing and music. It's because it enables people to worship. So if the people that are leading aren't committed, then the people doing it won't be committed. This is why God made us. He made us to be worshipers. Tactful motivator. 1 John 4, verse 19. We love because He first loved us. Sometimes it's hard to love people. It's hard to get them motivated, but we need to motivate out of love. Not out of guilt. We can make people feel bad, and you know, it's easy to do. I mean, I have done it often. You know, someone's slacking off, and they're not practicing, they're not doing anything, and it's like, okay, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this for God. What did God do for you? Well, He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And your response is, you can't even practice enough to, you know, be able to lead on Sunday. You don't know your part well enough so that you can't, you know. So it's easy to lay on the guilt. But how do we tactfully motivate? How do we come up to someone and, you know, maybe they're worship leading, but they're not expressing it. They're not really helping people sing. You just tactfully come up and say, help them. Hey, can I help you a little bit? You know, you probably think you're lifting your hands like this, but you're only going like this. Here, let me help you. Let me sing with you. How do you tactfully and gently help people become all that they can be? Next quality is a music lover. My wife loves music. She listens to music all the time. One of her problems at night is she can't turn it off. And she's, you know, can't get to sleep because there's tunes constantly going on. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be a music lover, listening to music, playing music. You know, I'm in the music band once in a while. In the beginning, they needed a lot of help, so I was there. But again, you have to be a servant. Other people come, other people get developed, They can do it. I don't have to do it. Okay? And frankly, I couldn't do it. I don't know if I love it as much as some of these people. I mean, they go to the rehearsal. If there's an opportunity to sing at some place, some park, some mall, they want to go do it. They would sing every single night somewhere. They love. Now, I love music. I mean, I think of myself as a music lover, but, you know, maybe not to be a music director. You gotta love music. Gifted musician. That's, you know, my wife's servant attitude and helping other people succeed. She doesn't need to be the star. I'll tell you, that's number one. That's the number one reason why she has been a success. But secondly, she's gifted. I mean, she knows music and she can handle the brightest and the most talented, and when they come and they're part of the band, they respect her because she knows her stuff. She knows music. She knows chords. She knows. She could just hear and go, okay, someone is playing a wrong note. All right? And she can find it. And she, you know, okay, the tenor part is this, and she can just sing it. Okay, the alto part is this, and she can just sing it. And if there isn't a tenor or an alto part, she'll sit down, okay, and she can figure it out. So she really knows music. And because she knows it, people will respect her leadership. So maybe you are, you know, you love music, you love getting people singing, but maybe the musician part is where you're still struggling. Well, that's what this course is for, so that you start learning even things like sound and the soundboard and reverb and how to hook up with, you know, those things. The more you know about all these things, you don't have to be an expert, but the more you know, the more the people on your team will respect you because you know what you're talking about. You know why the sound is a little muddy and what can possibly be done to fix it. Patient. Romans 8, 24, 26, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope, we hope for what we do not yet have. We wait for it patiently. Okay, so this is what I was talking about. When you're learning a new song, you have to have patience. Things take time. People take a while to learn things. And, you know, I'm not a real patient person. So at the beginning, I have no hope that this is going to work out. We do this big, huge music Christmas program every Christmas, and we have all these songs. We have to learn all these things and parts, and there's bells here, and there's a violin there, and it's all this stuff, and it's like, I just look at it and go, it's going to be impossible. But my wife is patient. She can see what I can't see. I can't see how it's all going to come together, and yet she can see because she has those eyes of hope. She knows if we just keep working at it, if I keep encouraging, we keep practicing, we keep doing it, it'll all come together. And often it does. Finally, a delegator. Delegate. Luke 10, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Jesus spent a little bit of time with disciples. And these aren't even just the 12 disciples, the 72. And when they had just a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of who he was, he sent them out. You know, I'm going to send you out. You're going to be a leader. You're going to go out there. You need to do that. If you're a music director, you need to challenge people. Don't just leave people in their comfort zone. And don't just do what you know is going to work. Challenge somebody. Look, we're going to have you be the lead. You're going to have to learn how to do that. Do you have any questions? Help them. This person who's been playing the guitar, maybe he's been playing with the youth and he's been playing with the kids and so on. Give him an assignment. We'd like you to play with the guitar. Our guitar person isn't playing this Sunday. We need you. Have him step up. He's got to practice. Maybe it takes him 2 weeks, but he learns those things. Someone that has never sang a solo. Maybe you try him on just a small little part. You just, you know, maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. But to be a delegator, you have to give people responsibility. Instead of doing all the transposing, you know, sometimes you have to transpose songs. We'll talk about how how to do that in a future session. But teach people on your team how to transpose themselves so that they can do the work. Delegate. Help people succeed. Again, it's not about you. Remember, worship is certainly not about you. It's about our praise to God. And even as the leader of the praise to God, it's still not about you. It's about your team. It's about helping people in their leadership. And ultimately, I mean, the whole worship thing, ultimately, it's about getting your people singing, the congregation, singing in the church, and singing in their home.